Taiwan special, first of the week, and I've got three simple topics, and I'm going to do three simple days. There was on the forums, there was no, I'm not going to say which one. I don't want to distract. I just online forums. Someone had a question about how to deal with some students from a few different countries in the Far East. So we're talking something like I don't know, Far East. I'll say one was India, and the other one was someone from a Chinese background. No, it wasn't Taiwan, but there's a lot of other Chinese background countries over in East Asia. So this professor is dealing with these two different students, and they won't go to class. They don't do their work. They don't show up. And some of the people on the forums said, "This is racist. You're a bigot because you're saying that their Eastern culture matters. You're just trying to lump them all into the same bunch and think you're better than them." And that's what a number of the people on the forums with very popular answers were saying to this teacher. Well, I went through and read carefully, and I'm like, oh, I know exactly what's going on. I get this. So you've got, all right, I mean, I've seen students over here, my friends, not go to class, get in trouble because of that. I've watched that happen. And I just kind of explained, you know, they're probably rich kids. I know in Taiwan, a lot of the kids want to study overseas, but they can't. The kids who study in America have like really, really rich parents who can afford to send them. You don't have a lot of money. If you're Asian, you're not studying overseas. Just no way. So those you get these Chinese, Indian exchange, foreign students, not necessarily exchange students, foreign students in America, their parents have money. Their parents are loaded or they wouldn't be there. Well, their parents have money for their situation in their culture. Maybe not compared to Americans, but maybe they're even richer than most Americans. Anyhow, so these are kids with money, and they're used to mom and dad solving a lot of problems. I know friends at some of the local universities, and I know how parents will go into a university and seriously interfere with the education process. So I know what they expect. Kids don't go to class. Mommy and daddy will make it all okay. And I also know that a lot of Taiwanese students will try to go to a college, not all, but many will try to go to a college in another town so that mom and dad aren't controlling them all day long. This is the thing. It's like out of sight, out of mind. Mom and dad will control the kid. You got to be home by 9 o'clock, and they're like 22 years old, you know, but they're bossing them around because of this whole family dogma thing. It's called Xiaoshun, this dogma to family, not dogma to religious teaching, but dogma to family. So that's going on. Well, they try to get out of town so they don't have to put up with that. They don't want to put up with that, so they try to get away from it. All right? Well, I recognize what's happening. They get mom and dad aren't there, so they just misbehave. Now, once the kids are in another town, well, mom and dad don't even think about it at all. Oh, it's okay. They've got someone else controlling them and bossing them. It's all right. They're not right under my nose, so I don't have to think about it. They're not right here, so I don't have to be the one dominating them. Someone else will, because someone always dominates because that's good. Right. So that's going on in the culture. And so these kids are overseas. Mom and dad aren't bossing them. They finally get away to be free. They're just, you know, my dad was an educator. And he kept his classroom, 9-year-olds, 9, 10, 4th, 5th grade, mid change. He'd keep the classroom at a dull roar. You know, a little bit of noise, kids working. And the other teachers kind of gave him a little bit of flack about it, like it wasn't controlled. But one of those other teachers had this ultra silent classroom where all the students would sit perfectly silently at their desks and only work. Well, when recess time came, dad's students went out on the playground and they were just kind of normal and happy and did their playground thing. But the students from the super, super diligent, super silent, super study room, they went out recess. They'd run around like mad. They'd cause problems. They'd misbehave. They just went absolutely ape excrement. And dad would say, well, okay, do we learn anything from this? Oh, no. because the teacher doesn't care about the other teacher. You know, they don't care about what happens outside the classroom because they don't see it right now. They don't understand how their heavy, heavy, heavy control now will affect things somewhere else. Okay. Well, my dad would get it. He would look at what happens outside the classroom to help, among other things, explain, engage whether he's doing a good job inside the classroom. That was kind of fun and interesting. Anyhow, you know, that's how control works. Same thing happens over here in Asia. Now, here they do it a lot more. And in America, a lot of people will get what I'm talking about. Over here in Asia, if I try to tell parents or teachers or even students about that, it's like speaking a different language. Now, the other day, and just last night, actually, I was at the skate park and I was there with one of the kids I do Bible study with. He's 7, skating at the skate park for the first time. And he wanted to go down one of the ramps. Everything's for the first time here. I'm like, you're going to kill yourself. Go get your helmet and go get my gloves, my motorcycle gloves. Put them on. Then you can go down the ramp. And if you fall down, I'm not going to help you up. If you're bleeding, you're on your own. Okay, you know, this is skate park talk. You got to understand that. Well, this other skater guy, he's, you know, 20 years old, sitting watching this. He goes, my goodness. Like, he's got awesome English. He's Taiwanese. He says, Jesse, that is exactly how to teach kids to skate. Cause, you know, he's a skateboarder. He knows, right? You know, he does skate park stuff. Like, you got to encourage people, tell them to be careful, pay attention. No, that's a skating lane, but you're on your own. If you fall down and you hurt yourself, that's normal. Don't worry about it. You know, this is how people work and think and operate, right? Okay. So, yeah, there's a way you deal with people. Now, in Asian culture, they would think that what I was doing is bad. They nanny children, talk super nice to them so they never have to confront any hardship. Oh, no, no, no. But then when you're leading them or they make a mistake, just scream at them and tell them how stupid they are. So it's like, oh, well, wait a minute. Did we talk nice to the kids or not? So it's not about talking nice to the kids or not talking nice to them. It's about heavily controlling them and being verbally abusive if they don't act super quiet. Or else, the other option is, you know, don't be controlling, but kind of give them a tough time as in like, I believe in you to do it on your own. If you fall down, you'll be okay type of, you know, on the surface rough talk, but encouraging. It's like there's these two different ways of looking at it. It's like, so we've got to talk tough at one point. Where are we going to do it? Are we going to do it in a way that encourages people? Or are we going to treat them like they're totally inept and help them all the time and talk nice, but then when they do something we don't like, just demean them and tell them they're worthless? It's like, you know, everybody talks tough at some point, sooner or later. Just when are you going to do it? Well, anyhow, that, you know, I've seen that over here in Asia. And Taiwan's learning, which is good because they will become a stronger country. People will do better in their lives. They'll make better stuff at their at work. Factories will do a better job. They'll make more money. It'll be a stronger, safer place because they've got more income, more taxes, more government budget, more money at home. Just they're doing better in life because they know how to think and operate better. Okay, well, that's good. Anyhow, back to this post on the forum. A lot of the other people, you know, that's racist. You're a bigot. And I'm like, no. Knowing the background of where people come from is very, very useful. And I had some positive feedback from the answer that I gave on this post. Anyhow, that was just, you know, interesting little thought for the day on, learning. You know, being, just observing someone's cultural background doesn't make you a bigot. What makes someone a bigot, a racist, which is about ethnicity, or prejudice, which is like racism, but with things not related to race, racism, prejudice, you know, circles and ovals and rectangles and squares, right, categories. What makes someone a bigot or prejudice, that's about saying you're whatever, you're an Asian or, you know, you're old or you're young or you're from this part of the country or whatever. You're a whatever, and therefore you're all the same and bad, and I don't like you. Like, that's what makes someone racist. But to say, oh, no, he came from this part of the country, and so when they talk that way over there, this is what they mean, and now we understand that person better. That's not racist. That's not bigotous. That's not prejudice. but a lot of people are saying it is. And I think people are talking that way because it's like they don't really understand. Like they've got so much going on in their minds that they really, really aren't trying to understand the justice of life. No. We've got to understand people. And that means knowing their background, not judging them for it, but giving justice tailored to their specific needs. And in this case, you've got two students from East Asia that are studying in the West, and they need a teacher who can understand them and lead them so that they'll graduate and succeed. But if we don't understand what unique strengths and weaknesses they have from where they grew up and acknowledge that and celebrate those differences rather than acting like they're not there, then we're not able to help them. But if we see the differences, celebrate the differences, and adapt to them so that we can lead them knowing how they're different and have to be led differently thus, then the world's a better place. And that's what it means to not be prejudiced. See you tomorrow.